Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
And then there is the weakness of rijal, of men, with their temptation of nisa. And this is a weakness, this is the aspect of tafsir of this ayah. And then there is the weakness of the abilities and capabilities of insan. Subhanallah, when we look at the human being, amongst the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is one of the weakest. And we have this kibr, we have this pride, where we think ourselves to be something. You know, some people walk around like, you don't know who I am. Sometimes you go to the masjid and you tell someone, you're parking wrong. You're like, you know who I am? Who are you? You don't have two eyes. You don't go to the bathroom. One of the du'at, I remember I used to be in New York before we went there for da'wah. He used to say, insan is a bag of waste on two sticks. Inside, I don't want to use the word he used, but you know, that's all insan is. But he has his pride. And then you look at the other creations of Allah. You look at an elephant, the power of an elephant. You look at a gorilla. You know, a gorilla could rip your arm off without even thinking. You look at a lion. In San Diego, we have a place called SeaWorld. And at SeaWorld, they have what they used to call Shamu, but they have these killer whales. And these things are huge. They have jaws that could rip through cars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave insan an authority over those animals. You see, a little child. You'll see a little child sitting on top of an elephant and making it go the way it wants, the child wants. You'll see in SeaWorld in San Diego, trainers that will make those huge killer whales do backflips. They'll take a lion and they'll put him in a zoo and they'll make him sit up and down. You'll see tigers that could rip a human into pieces. You know, they have shows in Las Vegas where they make them jump through hoops and things. So insan, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him in weakness, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored insan with this ability to control, with this ability to rule. But it came at a price. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he even made malaika make sujood to Adam alayhi salatu salam, malaika and jinn. But we have been given a choice. Ibn al-Qayyim, he discusses a very beautiful question. Who is better, insan or malaika? And he goes through a deep discussion. And in the end he says, the anbiya and the salihin, the prophets and the pious amongst insan are better than malaika. Allah, look, think about this. Malaika don't sin. Malaika don't disobey. Malaika, some of them, as we mentioned, and I'm summarizing from Sahih Ahadith, we have ulama here, if I make a mistake, please correct me. Their malaika, that their whole responsibility is just to make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine their whole existence is only in sujood, only in ruku'. Malaika making tawaf in the samawat. Malaika, that their whole existence is just to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one act of worship. But those from the insan, from the humans that obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that overcome our desires, that are able to control our nafs, Allah honored to be of a greater status than malaika. But the insan that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fasiq, the fajir, the kafir, those that leave the obedience of Allah and indulge in their desires, then Ibn al-Qayyim says they are worse than even animals. Worse than animals. The animal obeys Allah. A dog obeys Allah. A pig obeys Allah. And the insan that leaves themselves in the disobedience of Allah is worse than a pig. And he's a pig's rijs. And he's filthy. In the Quran, it's called rijsul. So, us, we as humans, we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created us for a purpose. And if we obey this purpose, Allah will honor us in dunya and akhirah. You know, in one of the riwayat that were mentioned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as Shaykh Albani has mentioned it to be authentic, he said that all of insan will get burnt by the nar. Like the for the believing servant who sins, and because of their sin, they enter the nar, all of them will be burnt except the athar al-sujood, the places where they made sujood. Because haram Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala nar. Allah made haram on the hellfire the places where you made sujood. Now what does that tell you? Insan is weak. Me and you, we're very weak. Some of us, may Allah protect us. And this is a reminder for me before you. I'm not here to impress anybody. I don't really care what anybody thinks about me. Wallahi, I mean, really, I want to remind myself. If I am the only one that listens, alhamdulillah. The rest of you can zoom out. Look, sometimes we start to have kibr. You get a nice car, and you're like, look at me. I'm blam. I got a whip. You get some nice kicks, you know, you get some nice shoes and you're like, let me clean them up. Look at me, I got nice shoes on. You get some money, you start thinking I'm better than people. You get some knowledge, may Allah protect us, that's the worst of the fitnah. May Allah protect us. You start thinking I'm better than that jahil. I'm better than this person, I'm better than that person. You get health and you forget about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start to become, even if you don't say it, like the kafir maybe says it, but the Muslim, inshallah, we don't say it, but we start to think as if we will live forever. As if we will not go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as those that speak, wallah, I mean, I'm saying for myself, may Allah protect us the most, sometimes we say things about Quran and Hadith and Nar and Jannah, and then it becomes like as if you're not really feeling it, you're not really thinking about it. But this is why myself, at times without telling anybody, I go to the Maqbara and I go and I look at graves and I read the years, because in America, in the Muslim graveyard, they still have a little thing that tells you the name and the year they were born and died. And I look at those ages. And I think to myself, how many of them are younger than me? How many of them are the same age as me? How many of them didn't think last year that they will be in this qabr? And sometimes I lay there, just next to a grave. And after a few minutes of laying there, I start getting antsy. And I don't have my phone. I can't check my messages, my WhatsApp. And you start getting this, like, okay, I'm just going to get up. And then I force myself to be there. And then I think, what if I was inside that grave? You know, somebody that thinks they're tough, you think you're gangsters, just because you got a knife. butter somebody's toast or something. Go to your kitchen. Seriously. Turn on your oven. You see that flame? Put your hand on it. Let me know how long you can keep it there. Insan is weak. You think you're tough? Go fight Malak al-Maut. When Malak al-Maut comes, overpower him. Go fight the Malaik of Adab when they rip your soul. Gharqa. In a way that destroys you. Go fight those Malaika of the Nar when they throw you in. And if you can't, then realize that as a creation, you're weak. Insan, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفًا. You are weak. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala karrama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Bani Adam, the children of Adam. What were you honored with? With Islam, with Iman, with Amal. When you make salah, Allah protects those places from the nar. When you make wudu, your sins, they come off. Al-Qayyim, he mentioned something beautiful. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Jannah as a place of purity. As a place that is for the people who are tahir, who are pure. And Banu Adam, they dirty themselves with sin. Don't look at others. When you hear this, don't think about that drunk or this guy or that guy. Think of yourself. Each one of us. I don't care how long your beard is and how short your thawb is, and I don't care how much people call you a sheikh and people call you yani sayyid and this and that. Every one of us, we've dirtied ourselves with sin. So how can you enter Jannah, a place of purity, when you're dirty with sin? So here then, you have ways that Allah has given for you to purify. And this conference, and this lecture, and this sitting, inshallah, is a means of that. As we know from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there are malaika that search for such gatherings, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being mentioned. And when they find such gatherings, they sit in rows once above each other, till they reach the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them, even though Allah knows better. Allah knows better. But to show the malaika that wisdom behind this creation of this of insan, he asked them, why did they gather? He said, to remember you, Allah. It's not, and some people think halaqat of dhikr is where you're doing backflips and hoo-ha and ting ting ding ding. No. When did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do that? When did Sahaba do this? When did the Salihin do this? Abu Hanifa and Malik and Shafi and Ahmad and Bukhari and Muslim, Allah be pleased with all of them. We love all of the A'imma. They didn't do this. They didn't get together and do backflips and break dance. That's bid'ah. And whoever I offend, take offense. Go ahead. They used to sit together and say, let's increase our iman. Let's remember Allah. Let's remember the akhirah. That's the halaqat of dhikr, where Allah is being mentioned. So those malaika, they look for such gatherings. And then when they look for those gatherings, they get together. And when Allah asks them, what do they want? They say, Allah, they want Jannah. He said, have they seen Jannah? No. What if they had seen Jannah? They would strive even harder. If we knew the blessings of Jannah, you would strive even harder. What are they afraid of? Ya Allah, they're afraid of the nar, of the hellfire. Have they seen hellfire? No. What if they had seen hellfire? They said, oh Allah, they would strive even harder. I'm summarizing from the hadith. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, announce that what they are asking refuge from, I have protected them. This is the, I know many of you left work and you left your jobs and you left school and be here. Understand the virtue of what you're doing. This sitting here can be a means of you being safe from an-nar, from entering Jannah. And when this gathering is over, there will be a caller, even though you don't hear them. This is from the ghaib. They will say, get up and leave and your sins have been forgiven, or riwayah that your skins have been turned into good deeds. And here, subhanallah, the malaika, they say there is somebody sitting in this gathering that didn't come for that niyyah. Every action needs a niyyah. Innama al-amalu bin-niyyat. Wudu. Yes, wudu needs niyyah. Salah, Hajj, Umrah. But this is such a blessed gathering that this person without niyyah, Allah says, forgive him, even though he didn't have the niyyah to sit for that reason, because of the blessing of this gathering. So Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions that there are ways for that sin, that filth, that dirt to be cleansed. Like our brother Nick today, Jack, sorry. Nick was another brother took shahada earlier. Our brother Jack, he became Muslim today. Alhamdulillah, his past is clean, wiped out. Newborn baby today. But if you are already Muslim and you sinned, there are ways in this dunya for you to get your sins forgiven. Hajj. The hajj that is accepted, your sins are forgiven. Tawbah. As Muslims, alhamdulillah, we have this blessing of tawbah. We don't have to kill God's son or some craziness like other people. Na'udhu billah. Huh? You make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You give sadaqah. You get sins forgiven. You make umrah to the next umrah. The sins are forgiven between. From one salah to the next salah. Wudu. So these amal that we take very light today. Yeah, we cannot just rewaj. No. These amal have strength. They have power. They can save you. They get those sins forgiven. And if our sins are too much, then Allah blesses us with hardships. Allah blesses us with hardships. I know it's a hard thing to understand. You get sick, it's a blessing. And it was the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, I never get sick, never had a headache, never had any hardship. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's not from us. The mu'min will always be going through tests. This ummah is marhuma, it has rahmah. That Allah protects us from the punishment of the akhirah. But what does Rasulullah tell us about this ummah? That it will go through qatal, yani killings and fitan and things that will go through hardships. And
did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
This dunya, but Allah from those hardships will protect them from the punishment of the akhirah. Even the prickling of a thorn, it is a means of sins being forgiven. So when you go through hardships in dunya, financial hardships, physical hardships, stress, family hardships, job hardships, people calling you names hardship, people attacking you hardship, people stabbing you hardships, don't worry about it. All of that is a means of those sins being forgiven. Thank Allah. Have patience, sabr. Because if you don't, and you go through this life, and you don't get those sins forgiven, your amal weren't enough, your hardships weren't enough, you filthied yourself, may Allah protect me and you, then there is the next stage, wallahi it's harder. As Ibn al-Qayyim says, that the next stage is through a transition of death. The hardships at death. And those hardships are worse and harder than anything in dunya. And you go into the barzakh, the life of the qabr. And the aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe there is adab and jaza in the qabr. And that adab for the kafir is just adab. For the kafir, may Allah protect us. This is the importance that every one of us, everyone listening, everyone watching, everyone here has to be a da'i. I don't care if you're a Sheikh al-Hadith, or if you're a taxi driver, or if you're a store owner, or a laborer, or a doctor, you're a da'i. Imagine these people that you see, that you work with every day, if they die on kufr, and they go to the nar forever. How would you feel today if you go walk outside and you see somebody and they have fire, they're lit up on fire? Every one of us will try to help them. But then we see our co-workers on kufr and we don't care. Some people, they don't understand. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an order, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي to Rasulullah sallam, He gives them an order, say, this is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ I call towards Allah. عَلَى بَصِيرَ upon sure, clear evidence. أَنَا وَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي They said, this means that we're going to go visit the Shaykh and the Muadhin and we're going to sit down and have tea and we're giving da'wah. Go back to the kutub of tafsir. What's the asbab al-nuzul? You have shuyukh here. Ask them. Was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being told in these ayat in Mecca to go to Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Ibn Abbas and Abbas radiallahu anhum and gather them in the masjid and just sit and give them a talk? Or was he being instructed to go to Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Abu Sufyan, because Abu Sufyan was not Muslim at that time radiallahu anhum, and call the kuffar, Walid ibn Mughira and others, call those in Ta'if and in Mawsum al-Hajj to call those kuffar to Tawheed? That's da'wah. In essence of it. Yes, if we call Muslims that are far from the deen to the deen, if we educate the jahil towards ilm, if we call people to the masjid, this is a part of da'wah, no doubt. But we cannot forget the essence of da'wah. What those ayat were about. So when you see shirk, when you see bid'ah, when you see kufr, you can never accept it. You can never sit on the stage with a mushrik saying, Ya Ali, and you're like, it's okay. We got political alliances to make. Sorry, I'm going to offend a lot of people today. So next time you may not want to invite me. So. Huh? You cannot just sit with somebody who's saying, Ya Abdul Qadir, give me a child, and you're saying, brother, it's okay. No. Wrong is wrong. Kufr is kufr. Shirk is shirk. Bid'ah is bid'ah. Nobody cares what anybody thinks. All we should think about, what does Allah think? So if somebody dies on kufr, they go to that death on kufr, khalas. There is no all religions lead same path. No. If all religions led to the same path, then why would Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam be sent? If Christians dancing in their churches and worshipping Isa ibn Maryam was okay, then why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say there is no Yahudi or Nasrani, no Christian who has heard of me and dies without bringing iman on me except that they're in the hellfire? I don't care if the Church of England's Pope and priest and whatever come and sit. This is my da'wah. Accept Quran, accept the Risala of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's the way of Najah. That's it. If somebody dies on iman, us Muslims, inshallah, we're Muslims here. May Allah make us from mu'minun, from the people of iman. But if we die with those sins, then me and you know our sins. We know our backbiting. We know our lying. We know our looking at haram. We know our listening to haram. We know our shahwat and desires that we give into. We know. Even if somebody else sitting here doesn't see them, you see them. And Allah sees them. Allah sees everything. And Allah hears everything. If we die on those sins, then the next stage is the qabr. And that is hard. That adab is hard for the Muslim, even the one who dies in the qabr, if they haven't cleansed. We are not like Christians with this false idea of Jesus died for my sins. Yeah. I'm going to go do whatever haram, whatever sins. I'm going to drink at the pub and get drunk and zina and this. Jesus died for my sins. What court would accept that? Like, imagine in the UK, if you go to court and you're like, you know what, there's people from Scotland to London, from Wales and Ireland, and they're murdering and raping and killing and stealing. But it's okay. We have this really great, pious person who never does anything wrong. We're going to kill him and everybody else is free. Any judge accept that here? Because I don't know, America, they wouldn't, I wouldn't fly. And be like, that's not just. So now imagine the believer, me and you, if we go to the qabr and that hardship of the qabr, we don't want to do that. And then there is the hardships of the day of judgment. As Ibn al-Qayyim says, this is the next stage of cleansing, of washing. And that is harder than the qabr. A day, one part that is 50,000 years. Imagine just standing and waiting 50,000 years. If I make you stand for the next 5 hours, you'll be cursing me. A day where the sun will be on your head, where people will be drowning in your own sweat. If death wasn't dead, you would die from that day. This is not a joke. When we talk about riba being haram and zina being haram and abaya and niqab and hijab and the hardships and the beard and people labeling you and making fun of you, if you think that's hard, how will you be patient on that day of judgment? Imagine when you sweat. If you sweat that much that your ankles and your knees get filled with sweat, you will die in this dunya. In this dunya, no matter what hardship you have death. Death will get you out of it. Cancer and this and that, death. You won't feel that pain anymore. But imagine a day there is no death. But there will be those that people mocked in the dunya, that people made fun in the dunya, that people looked down in the dunya, that people called them Wahhabis and this and that. They gave them labels in this dunya. But they stuck to the Quran. They stuck to the sunnah. They stuck to the way of the Salaf al-Ummah. They stuck to the aqidah. They stuck to the obedience of Allah. They stuck to the way of Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam. They will be sitting there on that day under the shade of Allah. The 7 categories, you know the hadith. They will be sitting there on pulpits of nur, pulpits of pearls, pulpits of musk, with the anbiya and the shuhada, smiling that day. No stress on them that day. Crossing over that day of judgment, the pul sirat, the bridge, like lightning. And if that day your sins are so much that still you're filthy, you're not cleansed to enter that place of purity, then there is the nar. Allahumma na'udhu bika min an-nar wa ma qarrab ilayha min qawlin aw amalin. May Allah protect us from the nar and from any action that gets us close to it, and any statement, may Allah protect us from it. Imagine a fire that you could never become numb to. In dunya, you have in your skin, you have nerve endings, you have receptors. If your skin burns off, you no longer actually feel the pain anymore. The nerve endings are gone. So if you burn off your skin, the next you can't feel. You know, if somebody, may Allah protect us all, if you grab something burning hot, if it burns off your skin, it actually doesn't hurt anymore. But the nar is such that you would never get used to it. Imagine you there. It's weak creation. All that boasting, all that hauntiness. Somebody reminds you, I know better than you. Who are you? who will get you out that day? And then imagine if you were patient, if you changed your life, if you left that sin, if you accepted the obedience of Allah, if you humbled yourself, tawadu'an. And Allah, from His mercy, enters you into Jannah. And when you enter that Jannah, death is gone. You know, you have family members that died and you separated. Whether it's your father, your grandmother, your whoever, they died and you separated. Imagine a life that you would never separate from them. Imagine a life where you will never have that fear of death. In dunya, wallahi, I don't care if you're a multi-billionaire, you fear death. Because all that dunya you made will get left behind. All that popularity you had will be left. The good looks, the blinged out clothes, cars, houses, health, all of that will be gone one day. But imagine if you enter that Jannah, abadan fiha, forever and ever you will live in it. No death, no disease, no separation. And the best thing about Jannah, the best thing, better than wealth, better than pearl houses, better than streams of water and honey and milk, and better than Hurul Ain, and better than having your husband with you, or your wife with you, or your children with you, or your parents with you, better than living it with the Jannah that is 10 times the size of the earth, with the minimum last person entering, better than all of that, you will get to see Allah. You will see your Rabb, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one you worship without seeing, the one you made dua to, the one that you cried to, the one that answered when you were reciting Al-Fatiha, but you couldn't hear, but you couldn't see. You see Allah, and Allah is pleased with you. And Allah tells you, ask mazid, ask more. And you ask whatever you want. And He says, ask more. And you ask whatever you want. And you ask everything you can imagine. You want a universe, you want planets, you want everything. You want 1500 Lambos and Ferraris and whatever you want. And you control yourself in dunya, ask. And you run out, and then Allah tells you, ask for this, ask for this, ask for this. And He gives it to you. Better than all of that, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the people of Nar just lost this seeing of Allah, wallahi, this dunya would not be worth it. So my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a reminder. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not here for that. It's a reminder for me and you. All of us, we're tempted with dunya. We're tempted with sins. We have to put the akhirah in front of us. Really. And think about the standing on the day of judgment. Think about the nar. Think about the qabr. Think about Jannah and its beauty. And change our lives. And change what we're doing. If we were tolerant of sins before, we need to stand on that. If we were ghafil, if we were heedless in our adhkar, in our salah, where we're just standing and getting through it, we need to change that. Every morning when you wake up, the first thought in your mind should be, how can I serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And every night before you sleep, you should sit there and take hisab of yourself and how you spent your day and how you could have spent it better. I will end with one statement from Ibn al-Qayyim. I've quoted this many times. You know. Poor people are sick of it, it's okay. Ibn al-Qayyim, once I was reading one of his works, Da'wat Dawa, and he says that before you speak, think. If you're everybody paying attention, all right. This, remember this from this talk. Before you speak, think, is what I'm going to say going to benefit me in the akhirah? If the answer is no, don't speak. If you're going to say something, and it's not going to benefit you in the akhirah, don't speak. Oh, did you watch the football game? Who won this game? Somebody kicking a ball around, who cares? Soccer. I was in Qatar during FIFA, and one of the brothers, they came, they said, we have tickets to semifinals. You want to go? I said, no. Why would I? I'm here for da'wah. Why would I want to see two teams kicking a ball around? What's going to benefit me from that? Huh? Now, Ibn al-Qayyim continues. This is the important part. Before you speak, if you think, is this going to benefit me? And the answer is yes. What should you do? It will benefit you in the akhirah. What should you do? Huh? What should you do? You guys sleep already or what? Think again. Is there something better? Allahu Akbar. When I was reading, my mind goes ahead. I thought the same thing. Yes, if it benefits you, say it. But this is why Ibn al-Qayyim is Ibn al-Qayyim and I'm not. Is that he said? Rahmatullah alayhi. Al-Hafidh Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, Rahmatullah alayhi, that if what you're going to say is beneficial, think again. Is there something even better? Because life is short and that Jannah that you have to earn is difficult. So think again. That is there something better that I should be saying? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that benefit from what we hear. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of you forgiveness for my mistakes. And whatever I said, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.